Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Hard bop was defined by Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers, and during the early 60s, Cedar Walton helped define the Jazz Messengers' sound. As a pianist and composer of standards like Mosaic, which you're hearing now, Cedar Walton is among the most influential jazz musicians active today. And he'll be leading a trio for six nights at Jazz at Lincoln Center's Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola starting tonight. But for now, the great jazz pianist is here solo to play live in our studio. Here with Cedar's Blues is Cedar Walton, live on Soundcheck. That's Cedar Walton at our piano with Cedar's Blues. Cedar, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you.
And congratulations. The NEA has just announced that you're one of the jazz masters for,
for 2010. Thank you for that, too.
So what does that mean? I mean, there's a little check that comes along with it, but I mean, what does it mean to you to get that kind of award?
It's quite an honor because I guess it represents the endurance of an artist. His output as an artist and his ability to, keep a certain stream of good performances throughout his or her career.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking earlier about Steely Dan, and I mentioned, you know, don't you get credit just for endurance, you know, for durability. It's mm-hmm. a tough business.
Yes, it could be, yes, sir. I was extremely lucky. I think one of the big bits of good fortune I had was just to decide to come here, which it turned out to be the mecca of culture, I think.
Here being New York.
Mm-hmm. I was brought up in Texas, and first of all, I was... at first, I was headed west. Mm-hmm. I went to Denver. I mean, I went to... Well, no, I headed...
was there a jazz scene in Denver that sort of
It was
drew
sort
you
of
there?
More than it is now, yeah. Those were all outposts. They are all outposts yeah. now.
Well,
they
I
were
mean,
then, too.
You could have gone way west because the cool jazz scene was happening
in
California.
I was on... vacation with my parents, and I got a look at that DU campus, Denver University campus. It was brand new, and they had co-ed dormitories, which I said, wait a minute.
They had what?
But it wasn't quite what it sounds, you know. I mean, it meant that, you know, we were staying possibly in the same dorm, but not in the same...
right, not in the same room.
It was, right, were, yeah.
The building was co-ed, not
yeah,
the room.
Right,
okay,
yeah.
All right. So you didn't end up going west. You ended up coming east.
Yeah.
As I said, if you had gone west, you might have fallen in with the cool jazz crowd.
It's very possible, yes.
Instead, you come east, and you become part of this defining clump of musicians mm-hmm. who create the sound of hard bop.
Yeah, many of whom I had met in Denver because I played in a so-called after-hour place, and Denver was on the circuit. And so anybody who was on tour from George Shearing to Duke Ellington to you name it.
They all stopped there.
They would stop in mm-hmm. and they were obliged to come by where I was playing. I met tons of people who all suggested that I come here.
Wow. All right. So by the time you came here, some people sort of knew who you were.
Yeah, well, I sought them out.
So you ended up playing with Coltrane for a while.
Well, yeah, just not too long. We played a few gigs. We made one record together, but I didn't really play with him as much as it seems.
Yeah. Well, but then
but I was
3 years with Art Blakey.
Yeah, Blakey I played with, and we toured extensively.
Mm-hmm. And Freddie Hubbard as well. And what did you learn from these guys?
Well, I learned to... sharpen up my skills because Art insisted that we compose and arrange because he didn't have that ability. So he chose people who could do that, and we all loved to do that, and that, I think that was a big stepping stone for me.
You know, I've always thought of Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers as like a school, like a college. You
yes,
know,
he a would finishing take
these,
school,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, he would take these young kids, mm-hmm. and he was like the director of player development for a baseball team or something.
Exactly.
And so, you know, you would sort of hone your skills, and then you would kind of graduate, right?
I got that exact feeling.
And, I mean, just the list of people who came out of that band over
right.
the years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the pianists. I mean, you
yeah.
and Keith Jarrett, and then, of course, you got, you know, Wayne Shorter to Wynton Marsalis.
Yeah.
All of these people coming out of this one band. So when it came time for you to make that leap, you know, to sort mm-hmm. of leave and go your own way, did he teach you anything about mentoring younger musicians? Is that what you feel like you're doing now as
yes.
a jazz master?
Yeah, He did teach without teaching, you know, he just
right.
by example, yeah. Because prior to me meeting Art Blakey, I thought intelligence was something you had to go to some university like Harvard and graduate to have. But when I met him, I found out that playing in front of kings and queens, mayors, governors, and people from all walk of life all over the world gave you a higher intelligence even, than I could have ever imagined, you know, coming out of scholastic definition. But, I mean, nothing against schools. I hope schools don't sue me for saying that.
This is the part where you say, you kids stay in school.
Right? Yeah, right.
Right. this all started, though, with your mom, right? Wasn't she the one who first
stuck
you behind a piano?
She was an aspiring concert pianist and sort of toned her aspirations down. And she loved to play sheet music and sing along with herself.
Mm-hmm. So this next piece that you're going to play for us is dedicated to your mom.
Yes.
It's called Dear Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear it. Once again, Cedar Walton. He and his trio are playing tonight through Sunday, August 2nd, at Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola at Jazz at Lincoln Center. And here is Cedar Walton solo on Soundcheck. Cedar Walton, live in our studio at our piano, and a piece called Dear Ruth, dedicated to Cedar's mom. He's performing for us solo this afternoon, the trio, tonight through Sunday at Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola at Lincoln Center. I was talking to a younger musician earlier today, trombonist, who said that a couple of your compositions are in the fake books, you know, the books that jazz musicians buy to, you know, learn to work their way through standards when called upon. So you have composed a number of pieces that have made it into those books.
Yeah, more than two.
Mosaic, Bolivia, things like that, probably.
Oh, yes. How did you know that?
I'm guessing it would have been those.
Yeah.
So do you, you know, consider yourself a pianist, a composer? Is it impossible to separate the two?
Yeah, for me it's almost impossible. I'm pianist slash composer because the compositions are just half of me.
Mm-hmm.
The other half is the pianist.
So when your mom started you with the piano, you mentioned she always had sheet music and stuff.
She was a big jazz lover, and when we went to jazz concerts featuring people like Hank Jones and Coleman Hawkins, Ray Brown, in those days were constantly touring. At least once a year they would come through our town. She would remind me that she'd poke me in and say, "Now listen, son, those guys don't have music in front of them, but they can read, so you're going to have to get your act together."
Mm. It's like that old joke among jazz musicians. Can you read music? Yeah, but not enough to affect my playing.
That's a good one. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Louis Armstrong said that.
He probably did. I think a lot of people have used that line over the years.
Yeah, but thanks to her, I applied myself pretty well,
And as you said, when you joined Art Blakey, I mean, he wanted guys who could compose.
Right.
So that really gave you the opportunity to hone those
chops. Yeah, right, exactly. Yes, that was the greatest opportunity I could have ever had. And had I stayed in my hometown, I can't emphasize this enough, which I meet guys in their hometown now who are very talented, but they didn't come here.
Right.
So
it's about
with a few exceptions, you know, you need to come here.
We're speaking with Cedar Walton. Here is one of his compositions, the aforementioned Bolivia. Just a little bit of Bolivia from my guest Cedar Walton, written back in, what, the early 60s, that must have been. You were with Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers
This came, John, a little after Blakey.
This was after Blakey.
Yeah, I never played it with Blakey.
You were with him from 61 to 64?
Yeah, something like that. And then after that, I kept writing and I was obliged to play my compositions myself.
Now, on January 10th, the NEA makes it official that you become a jazz master for their class of 2010. So that's in the future. What else? I mean, what other plans? I mean, you know, a lot of the guys that you've mentioned, a lot of the guys you grew up playing with, they're gone now. So what do you...
Don't remind me. Yes, it's just amazing.
I mean, durability is a great thing, but
lost.
Yeah, it's a great thing. But when you're sort of like the last guy standing, it can also be a lonely thing. So, I mean, what kind of plans do you have?
Well, the most immediate plans of my schedule include a second week at the Coca-Cola.
Oh, really?
And I add a saxophone on that week.
Okay, who will that be?
Vincent Herring.
Okay.
Who's played with me, you know, on a number of occasions.
And you have David Williams still playing the bass with you.
Yeah,
he's been with
us about 20, 25 years.
Yeah, that's a little while. And drummer Joe Farnsworth.
He's the newcomer, so to speak. Now, he's not even new now, but he studied out here in New Jersey under the tutorship tutoring of the great bassist Rufus Reed. And Rufus told him to come go down there and hear Cedar. And we used to play at a place downtown, in the Village, right on 7th Avenue. The name...
The Vanguard or the...
A little further downtown.
Not Smalls.
No, but...
Sweet Basil?
Sweet Basil, okay. Yeah. We became the Sweet Basil Trio, Ron Carter, myself, and Billy Higgins. And we played there 5 years, about every 9 months. So this drummer, he was there. I would see his head in the audience.
You'd see him in the audience.
So
now
many
he's in the,
times.
Now he's in the band.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's one way to do it.
Yeah.
One way to get in the band.
His instructor told him to do that.
Cedar Walton is performing with Joe Farnsworth and David Williams tonight through Sunday, and then another week next week, mm-hmm. also at Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola.
And adding Vincent Herring on sax.
Cedar, it has been a real pleasure having you with us on
Thank you,
studio
John.
On Soundcheck today.
It's been a pleasure being here.
That's going to do it for today's show. Tomorrow, blues guitarists Bonnie Raitt and Taj Mahal have been friends since the late 60s, but they've led separate touring careers until now. The two musicians join us to talk about why they're reuniting for a 30-date summer tour. Also, Leif Ove Andsnes is among today's most enterprising concert pianists. He'll play live in our studio. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell, the program produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer with Alicia Abbott. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatow, and I'm John Schaefer. Be with us again at this time tomorrow for the next Soundcheck here at 93.9 FM.